beloved radio friends, in the worthy name of the Lord Jesus, we heartily greet you again, giving thanks to our Lord for the privilege of bringing His Word to the hearts of those who listen. We continue our study in the Epistle of Paul written to the Galatians. We are now in chapter 3, and as we continue in chapter 3, we will begin reading today from verse 2, reading down through verse 7. These are the words of the beloved Paul, the Apostle Paul, as he addressed them to his believing converts in the churches of Galatia, questioning why they should ever leave the simplicity and the purity and the superiority of the gospel. Listen to his question as he continues saying, "This only would I learn of you. Receive ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Are ye so foolish, having begun in the Spirit? Are ye now made perfect by the flesh? Have ye suffered so many things in vain? If it be yet in vain, he therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit, and worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Know ye therefore, that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham." Now in this portion of Scripture, there are two important truths that we may learn, which Paul challenges the Galatian believers to realize. And may I add, without hesitation, the same truth need to be realized by us today. Those important truths are these. First, the superiority of the Spirit of God over the flesh. And second, the superiority of faith over works. Now let us consider the first one, the important truth regarding the superiority of the Spirit of God over the flesh. And the word flesh, may I suggest, implies whatever you and I may do by nature or in the power of this body of flesh and by that which is our own strength and ability. Now, how did the Galatians, these believers in the churches of Galatia, or anyone at any time, how did they receive the Holy Spirit? Now, this raises a very important question. Paul suggests, did you receive the Holy Spirit by the works of the law? And there's only one obvious answer. It is never. Then again, did you receive the Holy Spirit by some worthy deed which you had performed in the flesh? The answer again must be, never. How does a person receive the Holy Spirit, even today? Is it by some deeds they perform? Again the answer must be given, never. Though I confess, there are some people who believe they must do something today to receive the Holy Spirit. This is most unfortunate. The Spirit of God, according to our scripture in Galatians chapter 3, as Paul suggests, was received and is still received, now note, by the hearing of faith. For the moment a sinner puts his or her faith in Christ who was crucified for his and her sins, that moment the Spirit of God takes his dwelling within the heart. I quote the words of Paul written to the Ephesians in chapter 1 and verse 13 to substantiate this statement, where Paul declares, upon believing, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. These are the words of God. upon believing, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. It is not when I do some spectacular thing by or in the flesh. I do not need to speak even in tongues to give the evidence that I possess the Holy Spirit. That is absolutely wrong and contrary to the teaching of God's Word. The Holy Spirit is not received by works, not by works of the law. But as Paul writes, you receive the Holy Spirit by the hearing of faith. The hearing of faith. Now let Paul go on and thus demonstrate the meaning of this fact. As in verse 3 he goes on to declare, if you have begun in the Spirit, are you so foolish that you think you must now perfect yourselves by the flesh? Paul must have considered that these believers at Galatia must have come under some strange hypnotic spell to be so foolish, to be so bewitched, that they were now attempting to reach perfection through the deeds of the flesh. Now let's get this truth deeply within our hearts. This distinction between the Spirit and the flesh. Now may I go very, very carefully to the Word of God and remind you as well as mine own heart that when God saves a sinner, one who will place his or her faith in Christ and his finished work of the cross, the very act of salvation, the very work of regeneration, is accomplished not by the flesh, not by any work of the sinner, but by the Spirit of God. May I quote the words of the Lord Jesus when he said to Nicodemus, marvel not that I say unto you, ye must be born again, and declare, that which is born of the Spirit is flesh, is spirit, and that which is born of the flesh is flesh. They are two distinct things. And when regeneration comes to the believing soul, it is a work that is done by the Holy Spirit alone. Well did the Lord Jesus declare that we must be born of water and Spirit in order to enter the kingdom of God. And the beginning of the Christian testimony in one's individual life is by the regenerating work of the Spirit of God. It is the Spirit of God who alone can and does effectively give this new life in Christ to the believer. Now, when he has done so, after God has given me the Holy Spirit, now may I suggest, should a believer then say, thank you, but now I can take care of myself. I will follow the law. I will perfect myself by keeping the law. Now God says if you and I were to do that, as Paul declares in these words we have read, he declares, are ye so foolish? My beloved Christian, may I say to you, you and I who are saved cannot go on in the Christian life in the power of the flesh. The flesh has not been changed. We have been given a new life. We have the power of the indwelling Spirit. And every Christian needs the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit within him and with her to enable them to spiritually mature and to spiritually grow. Now, may I say frankly, the law is not able to do it. We shall come later on in the epistle of Paul to the Galatians to chapter 5 by the will of God, and we shall be taught that the flesh warreth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. They are contrary one to the other. Now, if I did not receive the Spirit of God by the works of the law, when I receive Him, I should not put myself under the law. Now, please let me be very clear about this matter. For I meet many people who, following their salvation, have the impression, now I should endeavor to keep the law, and thus perfect myself by the keeping of God's holy commandments. Now, I'm not minimizing that the life should certainly conform to the principles of righteousness that God gives in the holy commandments. But it is not by the power of those holy commandments, the power of the law in itself, that a believer can grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. We are to go on in the Spirit and with the Spirit. For Paul's argument is that the Spirit is received by faith, not by the works of the law. My fellow believer, may I emphasize this fact? We must go on in the Spirit. We must depend upon the Spirit of God to thus lead us, to guide us, to control us, to encourage us, to fill us, and to use us in our life which is ahead when Christ has become our Savior. My beloved, Paul is very definitely arguing that we should never turn to the law and seek to perfect our Christian life by the law or by the works of the law. It is only by the work of the Spirit. And later on, thank God, we shall see, as we shall come in chapter 5, what the fruit of the Spirit is to fulfill what the law can never help us to do. May God help us to realize this is the teaching of the Word of God. We begin by being born again by the Spirit. We must go on in the Spirit, with the Spirit, under the control of the Spirit of God, who will conform our lives and lead us step by step in the path of obedience to follow God. May this be very clear. But my friend, if you are not born again, you need to be born again, and by the Spirit of God. Father, we pray, may the Holy Spirit be the illuminator of the truth we have been seeking to emphasize, and may it be clear in the hearts of thy people, and blessed to all. In Jesus' name, amen.